This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Some guys, Ralph Bacchiano, I'm seeing it from on Twitter. The Giants have announced that three more players have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, they are on their bye week, but those players have self-isolated, and the Giants have begun contact tracing. So just as things start to go well for the Giants and they win two in a row in the first time in forever, COVID kind of rips through the organization right now, Chris.
It's one of the things you worry about during the bye week too, though, Dave, right? Mm-hmm. Guys kind of scatter, going about, you know, whatever they want to do. They kind of relax for a second, and they're not thinking about taking all the precautions that they necessarily would if they were being reminded of it being in the building every single day. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, certainly not good news, and we know that looks like Myles Garrett might not play in this game for Cleveland on Sunday, which is not good news for the Giants. And listen, the next game is I mean, you could argue outside of the Dallas game, Week 17, Rick, the easiest game you have on the schedule coming up out of the bye, and that's Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, this is a negative because they're testing positive for COVID, but the positive signs, it could be worse.
I mean, well, at least you're in your bye week. Bye.
Exactly right. It's just the way this thing is spreading currently. I mean, it's a matter of time before
it hits every team.
But I guess that's what would worry me, Rico, that it is a bye week. Like, guys are left to their own devices.
But they're still coming in every day to get tested. Listen, there's nothing good about it.
Sure.
I mean, if you do want to pull a positive from it, these aren't guys.
You don't have a game on Sunday. Yeah,
exactly.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. I'm with you.
Guys aren't missing the game. Because that's a huge loss. If Myles Garrett doesn't play in that game, I could
can he play? I mean, if he's put on this list today, how can he possibly play on Sunday?
I don't think he can. So I think he's out for Sunday, which means
Philadelphia
has a legitimate chance to win that game now.
And the spread is down to 2.5 now. So
does this not feel like one of those spots where Philadelphia somehow finds a way to win?
I said that earlier this week.
They really
well,
do.
But Philly's got a bunch of guys on the list too.
Yeah, but not key players, right?
But Vinny Curry's not a key player for them.
I don't think he's a great player.
Yeah.
He's not Myles Garrett, but still.
No, I don't think. Yeah, I mean,
they got a handful of guys. I mean,
they got Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham. I think they're still good at defensive end.
And they have a bunch of receivers.
And Josh
also.
Sweat. So,
How about Fletcher Cox? How about Fletcher Cox just having his arm pop right back in? You see that on the sideline?
He's a beast.
Didn't even miss a play.
He's unbelievable.
He didn't miss a play. All right. Speaking of missing, let's bring him in. The talented Las Vegas handicapper that is RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
Hey, guys. You know, your producer said, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but he says, you know, us having trouble getting a hold of you, it's kind of good for you. And I said, why? He go, well, if they hear this segment without you, it's like you're going to be very appreciated, the audience. I said, you know, I hear you.
You know what? I think there's a pretty good chance he did say that today after the way we beat him up to start the show. RJ, I mean, come on, man. Another loss from you last week.
Is that right?
You took San Francisco plus the points,
and they
did not cover.
You want to hear something amazing?
Well, here we go.
No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, RJ. I don't
really?
Want to hear it, no.
I want to hear it. I'd like to hear it.
We were undefeated in the Super Contest.
So I mean, that's pathetic. How are you going 5-0 in the Super Contest? You can't give us one winner.
One push.
All right, 4-0-1
still. The Browns, minus three.
So when what's his face, Chubb stepped out of bounds, you had a heart attack, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I take it, you know, I don't sweat every game. And it's kind of funny because Mr. Michael Kay, he's come around. We had a very powerful discussion yesterday, his number one ranked show. And he kind of came around. I sent him a game by game, and I said, you know, I've hit 63% with you. He said, you're right. And I go, in a way, your expectations being unreasonable is setting the expectation of all the young batters out there in New York City. He goes, I never thought of that. And we've kind of arrived. He's happy.
All right. Well, we're not. You're 2-8 on our show, and we expect better from you. Now, the credit I will give you is you and Chris were 0-8, but now you're 2-8. And you can feel the tide is turning in the way for you guys. Chris, your three games. RJ,
well, first
your reaction.
Off, what was Chris's record in his three?
Chris, I believe, went 2-1 last week.
Okay. I was hoping 1-2.
And then you picked like one. See, you're a bad guy. Okay. Why would you want
to be a bad guy,
yeah.
RJ?
No. I was just saying I'm very self-interested. So I wasn't trying to be negative to him. I was just really more focused on me.
And we've come to
And you were going to focus on you by highlighting how bad I've been throughout the course of this year.
I was hoping I had plucked the one winner out of the three. That's all.
Well, no. you had a winner, and yeah. the way you're going, take that. Chris,
such a bad guy. So, RJ, before I give you my three games, I wanted to ask you a question about the Jets-Chargers line. Yesterday it was at 8.5. Today it's at 9.5. And even though 60% of the tickets are on the Chargers, I see that 97% of the cash is on the Jets. So I wanted to ask you, how is that even possible that the line could move up a point in the Jets' favor, and yet they're the ones that are getting all the cash?
Great question. So it's kind of a complicated answer. You guys are familiar with teasers, correct?
Yeah.
So a 6-point two-team teaser is most typical. And there's something called an advantage teaser. And a lot of people play teasers. It's huge. So it's worth a second. Now, an advantage teaser means that you take it up through 3 and 7. So what lines would do that? 2.5, 2, or 1.5? So if you have plus, 2.5, 2, or 1.5, you can go up to 8.5, 8, or 7.5, right? 6 points on top of it. Those are great because you think about it, you're going through 3, which is a very common outcome. You're going through 7. So you're buying points effectively with a teaser, and you're buying the most valuable points because you're buying 3 and 7. Okay, now the other way is to buy down from 8.5 to 2.5, 8 to 2, 7.5 to 1.5. You've been buying down through 7 and 3. What some places do, if they start getting action on the teaser being bought down, is they'll move the line to 9, even though it's not really warranted. But now, yeah, they're giving some plus 9 to people if they want the Jets, but they'd rather protect. It's called teaser protection. About the 9, and the 9 now only goes to 3, and it's not near as attractive because 3 is such a common number. So around 9, Chris, there's sometimes some funny line moves that don't really correlate to the action.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. All right, here are the three games, RJ.
I do like this game, so if you don't mind, real quick, I love the Jets here.
Ooh.
Love them.
Ooh.
And I'm going to say this. Here's my advice. I'm going to just make this simple. This is my pick of the week with you guys.
Hang on. Jets plus 9.5.
And number two, I'm going to advise the following. Put 1/3 of your bet on the money line. Jets to win straight up. 2/3 of your bet on the Jets plus, the 9, 9.5, whatever you get. And here's the rationale. There's no time in the NFL that there's a team more focused, and let's say a losing team more focused, than when they're winless in the second half of the year off a bye. Because what happens? They're hanging out at the house, they're listening to ESPN in New York, and they hear you guys just cutting on them, busting on them. They don't want to hear it. It's 2 weeks of that, and the bye is when they have a chance, in theory, to be focused. And, everyone knows after buys, teams do better typically. And historically, if all you did was say week 7 or later, winless teams off a bye. That's it. You just play them blind. The record is outstanding. It's like 16-6 ATS. So, and they've won half the games. So think of this. The line in that game, those games, has been an average of 6 points. So they're 6-point underdogs on average, and they win half the time. It's almost inexplicable, and to me, it's all about motivation. Chris, I don't know. I don't think you were ever like an 0-7 or worse team, but
no.
Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. I guess, and here's the interesting part, because I actually liked that game, but I was on the other side of it. The Ooh. Question that I have to you is, how do you weight the Jets being historically bad? We've talked about the point differential before. How do you weigh that against the information that you had about winless teams coming off a bye in the second half of the season?
If you look at the last 4 weeks, so EPA, expected points added, which is a very respected metric, and you can look at it on a per-play basis, so it's a very flexible metric. In the last 4 weeks, in competitive situations, so what I do is, they have expected win percentage after every play, right? 99. You hear when a team comes back when it's 99% or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Is I eliminate any time either of the teams is above 90%, because at that point the game's not competitive. And yeah, sometimes they're going to come back, but generally that's where you get the garbage yards and all that. So if you say last 4 weeks, but it's not over 90% for either team, so competitive, the Jets are actually number 24 right now in EPA. So, yeah, the Patriots game looked good, and I think that drives it. But listen, Patriots looked mighty good the week after, I think you could make the case the Jets are not the worst team in the last month, and thus the whole historically bad, I think, gets thrown out the window.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, RJ, here are the three games. So I like the Cowboys getting 7 visiting the Vikings. I like the Buccaneers laying 4 at home against the Rams on Monday night. And the Jets-Chargers game, I like the Chargers. So we're just going to throw that one out because you like the Jets.
Yeah.
So what are the games that you like?
So, by the way, last thing on that Jets game, the reason I say a little on the money line, let's say that it is a close game late. Can you imagine how tight the Chargers are? Historically bad in close games, and now the Jets might get their first win against you. I mean, at that point, you got to like the money line. So that's my rationale there. Okay, so I don't like the Cowboys.
Okay.
And the reason is, to me, back to EPA the last 4 weeks, the best team in the NFL, and it's really not even close, is the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, KC's number 2. The distance between number 1 Minnesota over that time and KC is the same distance that KC has over the number 6 team. So, literally, it's a pretty big margin. Minnesota's playing that well. And if you think about it, on Monday, everything was against them, right? I mean, this is a Chicago home field that does very well against Minnesota. Cousins 0-9, as you guys probably know, on Monday night, straight up and against the spread. And still somehow Minnesota covered that game. We saw the Rams, their great year, go in there and get dismantled. It's hard to win in Chicago. We just saw Tampa Bay go in there and not do it. And Minnesota was able to. And you know, let's be honest, is the Cowboys really excited about Andy Dalton at this point? I mean, one minute he's got COVID, next minute his head hurts, the team doesn't defend him. I'm not sure if he's that much better than Gilbert, at least the way it feels like his season's going, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have better expectations. So amongst the games, I would say Tampa's my game. And
good.
The reason I lean that way in Monday night is because of Whitworth. The thing about the Rams, they are a top-heavy team. You know, Donald, you've got Ramsey. Those are 2 elite players. Maybe the best, I think with Ramsey, maybe the best at his position. With Donald, he is, right? And then they're kind of thin, right? I'm not saying just the third guy's no good. I'm just saying in general they're a thin team. Well, Whitworth was a top tackle, maybe the best left tackle in the league this year, but let's say top 5 for sure. You get rid of him, the market doesn't react to it too much, right? Oh, left tackle, he's old. But I think it's a huge loss. Now, again, you understand O-line play. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a different offensive line. That's a different offense without Whitworth. And we've seen that in past years.
Yeah. And to me, the first game is going to be the toughest. Because even though the left tackle comes in won't be as near as good, in 3 or 4 games they start to integrate in a little bit. That first game is the tough game. And by the way, what does Tampa do better than anyone on defense?
They get after it.
Exotic blitzes, too.
Yep.
So I think the inexperience really hurts at left tackle. I like the under more in this game. If I had one pick, it'd be under 48. But I do like Tampa.
RJ Bell with us and spitting knowledge today on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, he is.
This might be the best you've been, RJ. I feel like focused.
Dave, when I have bad luck hit me, I just try to work through it.
It feels like that's your mantra. All right. Chiefs Raiders. I was all about the Chiefs, and now I'm getting cold feet. But you've always said this, that the Chiefs are, you know, what's their motivation typically? And they're so much better than these other teams. Well, the motivation is they have one loss this year, and it's to this team. And if you lose this game, you're a game ahead of them, and they win the tiebreaker. Is that enough to make you like the Chiefs laying the 7.5 this week?
It's worth some points. And when I say points plural, that's big to me, because I think most things are worth a half point if they're worth anything, right? All the factors people talk about. And you see that in the NFL, right? The difference between like the 8th best team and the 24th best team is like 3 points. I mean, so there's not a, you know, the game of inches, as Pacino talked about, one of my reference points. And so here's the thing that makes me not like Kansas City. So let's think about the Raiders and their big wins. They had 2 really big wins. Saints, which, you know, in hindsight, it looks like a big win, because most people with Drew Brees think the Saints are the best team in the NFC right now. So, all right, and Kansas City. So you could make the case the Raiders have beat the best team in the NFC and the best team in the AFC. Who else can compete with that? So on one hand, you got to respect the Raiders. On the other hand, I think the Raiders have gotten a lot better in the last month. And air yards is a stat that is kind of starting to become more discussed. And the concept is simple. How far does the ball travel in the air? Because in this dink-and-dunk era with a lot of quarterbacks, and Drew Brees being a good example of that, you want to know, are they getting the ball downfield or not? Well, if you look at it, Carr was one of the worst at getting the ball downfield, right? That's supposedly why there was so much conflict with Gruden over the years, right? Well, if you look at the last three games, but you throw out the Cleveland game, because obviously Cleveland, they was 30-mile-an-hour wins in that game, if you remember, right? So we can't really even count that. In the other two games of the last three, is Carr has literally been number two in air yards that week and number four in the two other weeks. So he's been bottom. He's been 20s the whole year. So to me, there's something that's happened with Carr that he's now throwing downfield, and he's been mighty successful at it. So on one hand, I think the Raiders might be underrated because Carr's just a different quarterback right now. It could be a two-game aberration, but I don't know. And finally, the thing that makes me not want to play the Raiders, though, is both the motivation of that loss, Andy Reid talking about the victory lap, which Andy Reid doesn't say something like that off the cuff. He had a reason to say that. And finally, Andy Reid off a bye. And, you know, the numbers are so impressive. Sometimes people blend the playoffs with the regular season. If you actually just look at the regular season, the record is outstanding, and even ATS, it's strong. So I'm actually going to pull it up. Oh, here it is. So in the regular season, Andy Reid off a bye is 19-4, all right? And against the spread, 15-8. So listen, 19-4, Andy Reid's had some good teams, but they're not supposed to be 19-4. This is a guy that you give him extra time, he can trick you. Now, does that extra time, is it worth less in a division game when they know each other? My gut feeling is it is not worth as much. This, to me, is a fascinating handicap. I'm staying away.
R.J. Bell joins us here on the show. R.J., you mentioned the Saints. No Drew Brees. They're not sure yet. I mean, they won't announce it. It feels like Jameis Winston is going to be the quarterback. But is there value in taking the 4 points and picking Atlanta in that game?
Now, here's the thing. If you think about that, what is the all team this year, let's say the top three of teams, the record stinks, but they're actually pretty good, right? I'd say it's Atlanta number one. I'd say Chargers number two, right? And number three is, I don't know, maybe New York Giants at this point? I mean, Giants have covered 6 or 7 games, by the way. I don't know if you know
that.
Yeah,
they're right there. That's
pretty strong. But Atlanta, if you actually look at, again, expected points added the last month, and that's a good demarcator, I think, it's a quarter of a season looking back, is Atlanta's the sixth best team in the NFL. And if you look at those four games, they'd be undefeated if they had just kicked a 27-yard field goal. We can blame Gurley, but really I blame the coach. But the coach, Morris, is 3-1. So in general, if you look at the record, this line doesn't make any sense. If you look at how good the team's playing, it does. I believe the value's on the Falcons, and here's why. Drew Brees, because he doesn't have the arm talent that some of the best players have today, people dismiss it. And I said this time and time again. If you look at QBR, which is ESPN stat, and it's one I very much respect for quarterbacks, Drew Brees is the only quarterback, except for Patrick Mahomes, that had the last 2 years have been in the top 10. And Drew Brees, by the way, was number 2 1 year and 3 1 year. All right? Mahomes was 2-1. There's no other player that even has two top 10 years. So you can name Deshaun Watson. You can go through all the lists. It doesn't matter. There's no one else that's been. So Drew Brees has had a consistency that is unmatched except for the guy who some think is the best quarterback that ever walked the planet, at least talent-wise. So Drew Brees this year in QBR, I haven't looked this week, or, you know, he was like 7th about a week ago. So, I mean, the guy is still a top quarterback. The fact that the line only moved 1.5 after he was injured makes me – now, the line's moved another 1.5 since, so it's kind of caught up now to what I think it should be. But there's just a general lack of respect for Drew Brees, and to me that drives – liking Atlanta here, and I'd say it's probably my third or fourth favorite pick.
RJ, real quick, does the Davante Adams ankle injury sway you in your opinion on that Packers-Colts game?
So what's the latest status you're hearing?
He's not. He didn't practice yesterday, and his ankle is. They're saying now it's probably going to come down to a game time decision.
Yeah, because if you don't practice Thursday, I actually, and this was on Mr. Michael Kay's show, so I think it's fair to say my second best bet or best bet. And again, it's what I'm feeling that morning. And again, obviously some of it's been off. Is I really like the Pack in that game. And to me, the driver of, you know, Adams, if he's in or out, the line's going to adjust. So to me, I would wait. Because if you get him, right, and the line, you know, you don't get as many points, yeah, okay, it's fair, right? And if we don't get him, then we should be getting more points. So I would advise, with that being such a big question mark, you wait till game day, see if he's going to play. Because really, there is no game time decision effectively anymore, right? Because if they put him on the active roster, he's going to play,
yep,
typically. So you know what, about an hour 15 before the game?
90 minutes.
Yeah, so to me, this would be a game I'd wait to see that. It's on it's all over Twitter. There's different places to have it. And let the line adjust accordingly and then bet it, I would say. Now, listen, if he's playing and it looks like the line's moving where you're losing points, you know, bet it quick. But in general, let the information come out. And it's real simple why I like Green Bay. On one side, and it's just one thing on each team, Colts have the worst strength of schedule in the league. And not only that, I would make the case they haven't played one quarterback with true top seven arm talent. The idea that they can throw to the entire field. And, you know, Tannehill is not that guy. Cousins is not that guy. And that's the only two quarterbacks they've played that's any good, I think. So now, Aaron Rodgers, whatever you think of him, he has amazing arm talent. And he's having a good year, right? I've been down on him, but... So I think he throws to different parts of the field in a way the Colts are going to have trouble matching up man-on-man. Because generally, they can say it's the X's and O's or it's the Joes, the Jimmy and the Joes, as the saying goes. And to me, if you're like a Belichick or a great coach, you can actually beat a team on the chalkboard if that team is not multidimensional, right? The Raiders came in there, and Belichick just shut him down because the Raiders, you know, at least at that time, weren't throwing down the field that much. So, to me, I think Green Bay is the first team that can attack the whole field, and I don't think the Colts have a great D. I think they have a great scheme, and they can stop limited players. So, strength of schedule on one side, Green Bay attacks the whole field, and we're getting points, I'll take the Packers.
RJ, great stuff. We got to run. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. Guys, by the way, as RJ was going on, Taysom Hill has been named the starting quarterback for the Saints this weekend, and they don't even envision that Jameis Winston will have a package to get to the game. So that's the latest on that Saints-Falcons game. Today on ESPN Daily, the Steelers are 9-0 entering Week 11. Ryan Clark joins to discuss the evolution of Big Ben, the rise of Chase Claypool, and why Mike Tomlin is underappreciated on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go, and we go to, I mean, we love this guy. Paul Feinbaum breaks down college football each and every Friday at 10:30. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing well. You know, I there's some games that actually interest me, but every week with college football, it's like Wednesday. I'm like, are we gonna make it to Saturday? Thursday, are we gonna get there? What game is gonna get canceled? It just, I hate to be negative. It's difficult during the course of the week to get yourself geared up for these games because by Thursday, Friday, you don't even know if these games are gonna be played.
No, and I mean there are a couple of games down where I live where two different games. They're at the threshold. 53 is the minimum. That if you go below that, you fall into an almost have to cancel. And I mean, coaches left and right saying we're right down to on the line. And you know, at this point, a lot of coaches are just saying, well, you know, we'll play if we can. But everywhere you go, this week already there have been 15 games scrubbed. That ties last week for the most. And listen, look outside, look around. Look on the news. It's not getting any better. Right as the college football season reaches its pinnacle, I mean, we're talking. This is the 12th week. I know a lot of schools just got started, but it will be very interesting and tenuous whether they can get to the finish line.
Yeah, but Paul, it feels like it's going like once one of the one of the teams has it, it goes rampant through the team and even the head coaches. Is it protocols? Is it where these schools are located? Coaches not wearing their masks? It doesn't seem to have that same kind of guys in the NFL are getting it, but it doesn't feel like it goes through the team as quickly as it's going through these college football teams.
Yeah, I think college football teams are bigger because they have so many different walk-ons and there's a lot more personnel. I don't think the travel is quite as buttoned down as the NFL either. And I think the worst thing is they're on college campuses, a lot of coaches are saying, well, after Thanksgiving we'll get a lot better. No, it's not. I mean, you can't walk outside right now without being in jeopardy. I mean, that's just the way we are because of all the resistance, as you guys know. And so, I mean, I think there are a lot more college teams too. I mean, the NFL, you have 32 teams. They're pretty buttoned down. One other thing about the NFL, there is one voice. There's a uniform protocol. In college football, it's different everywhere you go. In the SEC, if you're positive, they contact trace, which means anyone you come in contact with. So two positive shut down a program. In the Big Ten, it's a little bit different, but you're also quarantined for 21 days. So you miss half the season or 40%. And that's the problem. You have two of the Big Ten and Pac-12 didn't come back until recently. So it's a mixed mash. And I frankly, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to just be nebulous here. But the odds of getting the season in are not great.
And, Paul, I know when you come on, we always focus on college football, but yesterday on your show, you had Coach Cal and you had Bruce Pearl on, and they were talking about the logistics and dealing with the reality of COVID. What's the confidence of the coaches in the SEC that they're going to be able to get through this basketball season and conference tournaments and NCAA tournament?
It's pretty challenging. Pearl said that they have not had a positive since July, and he said, that's great news, except if you get one now, your whole team's infected and you miss 2 weeks of games. And that's a lot because already the season is shorter. John Calipari, and you guys know him, I mean, he had one of the most unusual takes. And, I mean, he went on for 15 minutes talking about how we have to do this for the kids. I mean, it was a classic recruiting motivational speech that we are literally, it doesn't matter whether the entire country is shut down. We have to have college basketball because these kids need it. And his argument dealt with their mental health. And I'm not being insensitive here, but, there are probably a few things higher on the list of protocols in this country right now than the mental health of 17 to 21-year-old college basketball players on full scholarships.
I think we all agree with that. Paul Feinbaum joins us here, 98.7 ESPN. Looks like we are going to play in the Big Ten tomorrow, and there are a couple of really good games. Just kind of walk us through here. Indiana-Ohio State, which is a battle of two top 10 teams, even though I think Ohio State is about a 3-touchdown favorite, and then Wisconsin and Northwestern. Some good games in the Big Ten tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, in my wildest dreams, the idea of Indiana and Ohio State literally being the best game of the weekend is pretty shocking. But, Indiana under Tom Allen has been very good this year. They pulled some upsets. The Wisconsin game is fairly critical because Wisconsin missed a couple of games, but they are really a good team. So I don't think Ohio State will be challenged. I think Wisconsin may be a little more under the gun. And the game that you didn't mention, but I know you guys will be socially distanced tomorrow at Rutgers watching Jim Harbaugh on his farewell tour.
Is this it, in your mind? Is this it for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan?
It seems like it. Every day somebody makes a stronger argument that Harbaugh just ought to get out of there. I think, again, trying to guess Jim Harbaugh is impossible because he's literally got a plate around his brain, I think, that prevents him from using his cognitive skills. But I think he's hoping that somebody in the NFL will come after him, and they may, and that will give Michigan the chance to have a peaceful and amicable departure. But, I mean, it has been brutal the last couple of weeks. I mean, his team has not been close. And the worst part is, Harbaugh comes out every week after the game and talks about how we're not embarrassed, we're not this. And I understand you don't want to lose your program, but he's already lost it. I interviewed a historian in Ann Arbor the other day. Guy's covered the team for 50 years. And he said, this is literally the worst fall I can ever recall in Ann Arbor. I mean, and by the way, I mean, you know, there have been some bad coaches there. Rich Rodriguez was there. Brady Hoke was there. But the expectations were so high with this guy, and the disappointment level has exceeded that. It's really out of this world.
Paul, since we're talking about Jim Harbaugh potentially making a jump to the NFL ranks because he's going to be on the outs in Michigan, I wanted to ask you about Ryan Day. I was told by somebody that's associated with the Ohio State program that if the right opportunity presented itself, he would consider jumping from the college ranks to the pros. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I think he's considered. I think, you know, you guys have to help me here. You know, what's the right opportunity in the NFL? But because right now he is literally in charge of one of the three best programs in college football, and it's not going to change. You know, Ohio State is just as it's like Alabama and Clemson right now. The recruits go there, the facilities superb, the conference manageable.
It's Paul, didn't they just get the number one kid in the 2022 class?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, you played the game in the NFL. I don't know what you know what the ideal NFL job would be. I know some wouldn't be ideal, and you guys don't have to look too far for those.
Don't say it. Don't say it, Paul. Stop it.
You said it without saying it. He said it without saying it.
I say this every week, but I really want Harbaugh to go to the Jets. To me. And
that's
then
a disaster.
Beg, because if that happens, you guys don't even remember this, but I used to be a sports columnist. I mean, I would beg the New York Post to hire me for one season to cover him.
Oh.
Wow. That would be gold.
Paul, what happened to him? Paul, what happened to Jim Harbaugh? I mean, did he forget how to develop a quarterback? Like, it seemed like in San Francisco, what he did with Alex Smith, what he did with Colin Kaepernick, now all of a sudden he can't find a quarterback in Michigan. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. I mean, and I heard somebody. It was actually Greenberg the other day. We were on Get Up, and he did a commentary about Harbaugh. And you guys just said it. I mean, he was as good as we have seen in a while. I think the problem with him, and you watch it in the NFL, you have to adapt. Doesn't matter whether you're Bill Belichick or anyone else. You can't just stay the course. And he just kept doing the same thing. He missed the revolution in college football. And, you know, for some reason, he just kept, he was determined. We know what we're doing here, and it finally got away from him, and you can't get it back. I still, for all of it, Paul Feinbaum hates Jim Harbaugh, I really don't. I just think he needs to go somewhere else. And I think in the NFL, he could become successful again because, you know, you get the right quarterback, you get the right system involved, and there's a little bit more time to develop in the NFL. We're in college, there's so many restrictions.
It is a risky proposition at this point if you're going to bring in Jim Harbaugh. Paul, as always, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you next week. We appreciate it.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, good stuff. Well, I mean, I'm brilliant all show. I have one hiccup, and you're all over it?
I have to be.
You're an animal.
Well, of course, you know that. But
an animal. All right, the Michael K. Show's 2020 contest continues today, 3 o'clock. The K. Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and all you have to do is recognize their voice. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Frigidaire 38-bottle wine cooler. It's the 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. Now, Rick, this is for you. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, the flyweight champions go to battle at UFC 255 when DeVazen Figueroa.
Well done, Dave.
That was right, wasn't it?
Well done.
That was shocking. Well, he defends his belt for the first time against Alex Perez and Dean Ann did this just to make it difficult for me. Valentina Shevchenko defends her crown for the fourth time against Jennifer Maia. Only on ESPN Plus. UFC 255 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Or sign up now to get UFC 255 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for just $84.98. Visit ESPNPlus.com/PPV for more details.
I am the smartest man alive!
I can't believe that just happened. Beautifully done. I don't know why you're laughing. I mean, I thought it was going to be just a cavalcade of you being able to enjoy me, you know, stepping on this incorrectly, and I was sensational.
No, it's focused, Dave. That's what happens.
It's not
there's You have to focus, because if you don't focus, I'm going to be all over you.
Can we focus on getting to the NFL picks?
Yeah, let's go.
We ain't got a lot of time, man.
We got so much time, we don't need to all this time. But that's fine. If you guys are in a rush to make our selections, let's do it. Rick Erdy has one in the bank. He took Seattle -3 over Arizona. That's a win. So, Rick, you are leading the way heading into Week 11. You're 14-15-1, which up to date, you're actually 500. I'm 13-17, and Canty is 11-19. As always, you can choose, so you choose to go last, I would imagine.
Yes, sir.
All right, Chris, you want to start us out?
Yeah, I'll start us out, Dave. I am going down to the dirty South. Atlanta had a win for the culture last night when Jeezy crushed Gucci Mane in the Versus battle on IG. And I think the Falcons are going to follow that up with a win down in New Orleans this Sunday. So I am taking the Falcons plus the 4 points. I know what R.J. Bell said about the Minnesota Vikings, but, Dave, listen, something about it. I just feel like the Vikings are due to lay an egg. They've been locked in after the bye week. They're going to have a performance where they're not at their best, and I think the Cowboys catch them slipping. So I'm going to take the Cowboys plus the 7 points. And you know what? The last time this team was on primetime, they got embarrassed. That would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they played the Saints a couple of weekends ago on Sunday night. It's not going to happen again on primetime. I think Tom Brady and them want to make a statement. He said as much this week. So I'm going to take the Buccaneers and lay the 4 points against the Rams.
Oh, we are going head-to-head in a couple of games. I like Taysom Hill. I think they're going to be motivated to play for him. I think that Sean Payton wants to make an example that he can win this without Drew Brees. I'm only giving 3.5. That's a good football team. And I know Atlanta's played better, but I'll take the Saints and I'll lay the 3.5 points.
It's four, Dave.
Now, pregame.com has 3.
No, it's 4. We go by the New York Post. It's 4 this morning.
All right.
Yeah, it's not 3.5. We ain't doing no point shaving.
All right, that's fine, because I have Minnesota -7.5, but according to you guys, that's 7. That's my next pick.
Okay.
I mean, it's the hottest team in the NFL. The Cowboys are slop. I mean, they're unwatchable. I'll take Minnesota and laugh my way to a victory as they beat up on Andy Dalton and the Dallas Cowboys. And lastly, and I tipped my hand earlier this week, and I'm going to go with it on Friday, I get Aaron Rodgers getting a point on the road against Indy. I like that. I'll take that. Green Bay plus the 1. Lock it in.
Green Bay plus the 1. All right, David, I like those picks. I do. I like the picks, and I like your confidence. What I'm going to do is this, David, is I'm also going to take Green Bay. I'm going with my man Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Got to bounce back. Not a great performance. Let me down against Jacksonville. And then I'm also going to take the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh.
Take Dolphins.
What is the number 3?
I'll lay the 3 with the Miami Dolphins.
I thought you were afraid of Dolphins.
In this case, I'm going to partner up. These are the North Korean Dolphins I'm going with. I'm going with the weaponized North Korean Dolphins.
Those are the scarier of all said Dolphins.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.